Good morning, members, public, those watching online. Welcome to the Capital Investment Committee. Today is March 6, 2025. We have a quorum present, so that's exciting. Let's see, Representative Sexton, may I have a motion to approve the minutes for Tuesday, March 4th?
Good morning, ma'am. So moved.
Fantastic. Do we have any comments, corrections, discussion? All right, hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, then motion prevails. Minutes are approved. We have a busy day on the calendar, members. We have 18 local water sewer and project or sewer infrastructure bonding projects. It just keeps going and going and going. But before we start, I want to address the committee. I know all members aren't here, but hopefully they will be good members and watch what they missed. Members, last Tuesday, there was a representative was presenting his bill with his city, and there was an accusation made against that city that was inappropriate and not the place for that conversation. Members, if you have issues in particular with cities that do not pertain to the actual language of the bill at hand, I ask that you talk to the bill author before committee and talk to those that you have concerns with before committee. Airing your grievances on your concerns related to other issues is not the place for this committee. We run a bipartisan committee, and we also do not, and it was highly inappropriate to threaten such a city with funding. That will not happen again. With that, let's have our first bill. We have Representative Harder. Representative Harder has three bills up. Please make your way to the testifying table. With any of your testifiers, state your name for the record, and you may proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Franzen and members for hearing House File 458 today. This request is for a water treatment facility for the city of Henderson. Many residents of the city must deal with water that is discolored and often has an odor. In fact, in October of 2023, Fox 9 did a feature on the discolored water and what residents face. And so I have with me today Mayor Keith Swenson, who is going to explain the request. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson Franzen. Thank you, committee, for hearing our plea. Henderson's water system is fed by the Jordan Aquifer, which many cities use for their water supply. It's good water, except it's loaded with iron and manganese and leaves deposits of rust in our infrastructure that get broken loose from time to time and agitates my constituents, something fierce. We've made expensive improvements to the delivery system. Scrubber in the water tower. We've done everything up to this point. What's left to do is a filtration system. And nearly all cities that use the Jordan Aquifer have employed a filtration system. We've raised our water rates because of the improvements to the infrastructure radically. And we are seeking help in building a filtration system.
Thank you, Representative Harder. Did you want to add to that?
The city has faced this problem for a number of years. Before I became to the state legislature, I was a county commissioner, and frequently many residents would show me pictures of what they deal with the water, the odor, the constant replacing of appliances. For like, let's say, for example, a dishwasher would only last, say, a couple of years, and that's very expensive for people. Residents have had to put in their own water filtration system. A filter should last, say, 6 months, and oftentimes it will last less than a month. So it's very expensive to the residents. And like the mayor says, this is a very important concern for the residents of Henderson. Some people are having to bring their own water in. So I appreciate the committee's willingness to hear this bill, and I ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Harder. Members, do we have any questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you for presenting on House File 458, Representative Harder. Next up, Representative Harder, you have House File 459. I believe your mayor is testifying, if she could make her way to the testifying table.
Yes, again, thank you, Chair Franzen and members for hearing House File 459. This request is to help the City of Carver with levy improvements and flood mitigation, and I will let the mayor explain what the request is. Thank you.
Mayor Johnson.
Thank you, Representative Harder and Chair Franzen, members of the committee. My name is Courtney Johnson, and I have the extreme privilege of serving as the mayor of the City of Carver. Today, I'm joined by Councilmember Eric Pershman and City Manager Brett Merrick. On June 25th, 2024, at 10 p.m., the fire department was paged out to downtown Carver because extra hands were needed to help sandbag a breach in our levee. The following evening, the fire department was called for the exact same reason. There were a couple more breaches after that and many sleepless nights last summer as the Minnesota River in Carver made history when it crested at 30.12 feet, just breaking the record from 1965, which was 30.07 feet. Carver's levee is one of the best examples of aging infrastructure that I can think of. It was constructed after the 1965 flood, which damaged 50 historic structures in downtown Carver. It was the best of a small town coming together to solve a problem and, in this case, build a levee through a volunteer effort of the community's residents. The result of this effort, however, is a levee which is non-conforming and wasn't properly engineered. Engineering plans and specifications do not exist for our levee. The levee's issues led to the City of Carver's removal from the Army Corps' levee safety program. This means that building owners in our 100-year floodplain must have flood insurance, which is extremely expensive. It also means that property owners are limited to the improvements they can make on their homes, and there's the ever-present threat of this aging infrastructure failing. While I'm here today asking for support from the state legislature, it's important to note that Carver has invested in this project as well. We've spent $1.2 million on improvements to the levee, including improvements to our stormwater lift stations and drainage systems. I've also worked hard over the past 6 years to secure additional funding for this project and have had success with the Lower Minnesota River Watershed District and congressionally designated spending. With these efforts, combined with help from the state, we are closer than we've ever been to seeing this project across the finish line. A few of you walked the levee with me in 2019 during the bonding tour. When you all came out to visit that year, the Minnesota River was at flood stage, which wasn't that rare because that year the Minnesota River spent more weeks at or above flood stage than it did below. All this is to say that the flood threat in the City of Carver is not going away. We know something must be done to make improvements to the City of Carver's levee. As we learned last summer, we are truly working with borrowed time when it comes to this piece of aging infrastructure. In Carver, we're no stranger to floods. In fact, we have a bit of a reputation for flooding. When our city manager, Brent Merrick, left the city of Winsted to come to Carver 15 years ago, he received a life jacket as a going away gift from his staff. From Afton to Zumbrota, I know that there's a great case to be made for funding these types of projects. What sets us apart is that Carver has a plan to correct the levee's issues and conduct the work which will lead to levee certification from FEMA. The total cost of our project is estimated at $13 million, and I'm here today asking for $3.35 million. I'm asking your support because our small city just doesn't have the resources to do this project alone. I'm asking for the state of Minnesota's help to modernize aging infrastructure, to preserve a piece of history, to protect homes, businesses, and to save lives. If you have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them. Thank you all, especially Representative Harder, for this opportunity.
Leadley.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mayor, for coming by. So I understand in 2023 we gave you the city a $6 million appropriation. And so is that $6 million considering the total cost of $13 million? If that's the case, the 6 plus the 3.35 will be around a 72% contribution from the state for the project. And so can you tell us how this interacts with the 2023 appropriations?
Mayor Johnson.
I'm sorry, the last portion of your question, tell us how.
Leadley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just how this interact with the 2023 appropriations, you know, is that in considering the entire $13 million cost, or what is the difference?
Mayor Johnson.
Absolutely. Thank you for the question. Yes, the City of Carver is very appreciative of the $6 million that we received from the state of Minnesota. However, with that and with the money that we've received from other funding sources, we still are facing this $3.35 million gap in funding, which is what I'm asking for today. Does that satisfy your question?
Leadley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so just, so it'll be 6 million plus 3 million. So that would be an ask of a total of 9 million from the state for this $13 million project. Is that correct?
Mayor Johnson.
That's correct.
So the majority of your funding is coming from the state of Minnesota is basically what we're trying to get to.
That's correct. We also are looking for other funding sources as well. But yes, that's what the ask is today.
So Mayor Johnson, where have you received other funding from?
We've received money from the Lower Minnesota River Watershed District. We've received money, federal funds, in the form of congressionally designated spending. We've received a DNR flood mitigation grant, and then we've received the money from the state of Minnesota.
So on that other bucket of the other funds that you have received, Mayor Johnson, what's the dollar amount total?
The dollar amount total is $8.75 million. So the breakdown is $100,000 from the Lower Minnesota River Watershed District, $150,000 from the Minnesota DNR's Flood Mitigation Grant Program, $2.5 million in congressionally designated spending, $6 million from the state of Minnesota. So that's how we get to the $8.75 million. And then the city has put in $1.2 million in a contribution. And then additionally, the money that we've received from other funding has made that match for the money that we have already met that threshold.
Okay. Lead, does that answer your question? Okay. Members, do we have any other further questions? All right. Do you have any closing comments before we move on?
Yes. Thank you again, members, for hearing this bill. It is important to repair this levee to protect the businesses and residents of Carver. And having personally lived through a flood, when you have a flood, time is of the essence. And so I appreciate the committee's willingness to hear this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Harder. Representative Harder has another bill up, House File 461. Representative Harder, please have your testifiers come to the table. Okay, next up we're going to have Representative Bennett. So Representative Bennett, if you'll make your way back to the behind the testifying table with your testifiers so we can just keep up the train running. Representative Harder, please introduce your legislation for House File 461.
Yes, thank you again, Chair Franson and members, for hearing this, another very important bill for my district. The request is to help New Germany, which has a population of about 465 people, to expand their water, their wastewater treatment facility. The city has been working on this project for many, many years, and the City Administrator Twyla is going to explain to you the need for the funds. Thank you.
Ms. Menth, please state your name for the record and continue on.
City of New Germany, Eric Miller, he's our SEH wastewater engineer. Thank you, Capital Investment Committee and Representative Bobby Harder, for the opportunity to be here and share our wastewater needs. We're asking for your support for the New Germany Wastewater Project. The cost of the project is $10,660,000. We are requesting $8 million. These funds would make it possible for the city to complete the upgrades and add capacity to the current wastewater lagoons and allow for further commercial and residential development in the community. Currently, the MPCA has imposed a moratorium on any new services until capacity is added. The situation in New Germany is incredibly challenging. The city has a population of only 465 people and undertook an $11 million water treatment plant improvement project less than a decade ago. From this project, we have approximately $7 million left in debt remaining, which also left the residents with by far the highest utility rates in Carver County. The city has no capacity to take any additional debt to increase capacity at the lagoons. To put this in perspective, the average monthly in-water sewer for a family of four using approximately 4,000 gallons of water is $261.05 a month, where most communities in the area average around $120 to $130 for their monthly water and sewer cost. New Germany has the lowest median household income of Carver County area and is only at about 90% of the median household income across the United States. The homes in New Germany are affordable in comparison to most locations within the Western Carver County region, and there's a high demand for affordable homes. The city of New Germany has approximately 92 lots available and has developers ready to begin construction once the wastewater can be expanded, and the infrastructure in those developments is already in place. There are currently 182 households in New Germany, and that number is expected to almost double to 354 households by 2044. Not only will the project allow for construction of affordable homes, but it'll also open opportunities for commercial use within the city as well. The additional homes and businesses will greatly benefit the New Germany community and help to make the utility rates more affordable for everyone. The city has worked proactively to address this issue, but is not able to tackle it on their own for all the reasons mentioned. In New Germany, if New Germany does not receive the assistance requested, sewer rates would have to increase by 85% to complete the wastewater project, which makes it all but impossible to move forward. Again, thank you for the opportunity to present this request to the Capital Investment Committee, Bobby Harder, and we appreciate your full consideration of this request. It is very much needed.
Thank you. Did you want to have anything to add?
No.
No. Okay. Representative Harder, do you have anything to add before we go to member questions real quick? Real quick.
Well, the city administrator has said pretty much everything that I would have said. I mean, this city would like to grow. It's unable to grow because of the capacity. And I've had businesses reach out to me that they would like to come to New Germany, but they are not able to because they need to work on their wastewater treatment plan. So I appreciate the consideration.
Members, do we have any questions? No, seeing no member questions. Thank you, Representative Harder. Thank you for each and every one of your testifiers for making the way down to the Capitol today. We appreciate you advocating on behalf of your city. Representative Bennett, please make your way to the testifying table with your testifiers for House File 449 for the City of Manchester. Representative Bennett, please state your name for the record. You may proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Representative Peggy Bennett, House District 23A. And I have here with me some city officials from Manchester, a smaller city within my district. We've got Mayor Steve and City Maintenance Mark, and I'm going to leave this them most of the time. So if I could pass it off to Mayor Steve.
Yes, Mayor Steve Hanegraffs, correct? If you want to state your name for the record and proceed.
Stephen Hanegraffs, Chair. Thank you for...
And if you could just speak into the microphone for the record. Thank you, sir. And you can move that microphone closer to you if you need to.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be part of this community, to represent them. It's a small community, 54 residentials. We have approximately 60 for a population. The system, our water system, was put in 1948. It's got the transite. Water main is 95% of it, and it's got asbestos in it. We've had asbestos samples taken. Everything's come back negative. The main concern is when it does start flaking. Typically, after 40 years, it deteriorates. The city did a sewer project in 2009 and 10, and where he had assistance with that. And the water project is in critical need. So we can continue to grow and maintain the residents that we have. We don't have much room for growth, but we'd like to see the families move into town. And we do have some, they are starting to come in more, and some of it's due to housing, I'm sure. But the little kids, they don't have the fluoride, we don't have the treatments and stuff. It's going to end up being a crucial problem for the city. We typically have issues when the power outages, we don't have backup generators for the water system. The household income, minimum income is right at $60,000 a year. We upped the rates $25 a month. We started that in January, we're getting some flack on that. Their typical water for the residential and sewer is $64. And with the 25 on top of that, they're at the $89. And it hurts the people that are trying to survive there.
Thank you, Mayor Hanegraaff. You're excited to be here. We're excited you're in front of us, even though we may not act like it. We are thrilled.
Thank you.
Mr. Is it Rauenhart? Did you have anything to add to that? Please state your name for the record and proceed if you do.
I'm Mark Rauenhorst. I'm the public works person for the city of Manchester. The biggest thing is it's an aging infrastructure. The whole water reservoir is ancient also. I mean, the whole system needs to be upgraded. It's in poor shape.
All right. Thank you. Members, do we have any questions? Vice Chair Fogelman?
Thanks for being here today. I just have a quick question. Could you tell us how many households that this affects and if there's any room for people to have individual septic systems in place of the wastewater treatment facility?
I assume that's Mr. Rauenhart. Oh, Mr. Hanegraaff's.
Well,
which one wants to take it? Please state your name.
They put the new sewer
state
system.
State your name for the record.
They put the new sewer system in 2010. And the whole system is everything is pumped to another community. So they don't have to, because they didn't have room for individual septic systems everywhere in town.
All right. For the record, that was Mr. Rauenhart, the city maintenance of Manchester. All right. Seeing no other further questions, Representative Bennett, did you have last closing statement?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. And just want to mention with the asbestos in the pipes back 50 years ago or whenever those were put in, that was state of the art. Well, we're finding out that wasn't a good idea. And these, when they do start degrading, which is soon, asbestos will run through that system then.
Certainly. And we know over time what state of the art back then, as times change and things develop, that eventually becomes obsolete. All right, thank you for presenting on House File 449. Next up, Representative Bennett, you have House File 450 with the City of Albert Lea. Please make your way to the state on the testifying table and state your name for the record and proceed. Representative Bennett?
Sorry about that, Madam Chair. Representative Peggy Bennett, House District 23A. And I'm just going to hand this over. I actually live in Albert Lea, so I drink and utilize this water, and it's a hugely important construction going on here. And I will add that, you know, it's a very large sum of money, but the city has been able to break that down, which the city manager is going to discuss. So I'm going to hand that off to him.
Good morning.
Please state your name for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ian Riggs, City Manager of Albert Lea. Good morning. Thank you, Representative Bennett, Chair Franzen, and members of this community for the opportunity to speak on House Bill 450. As I said, my name is Ian Riggs. I'm the City Manager of Albert Lea. And the reason we are here requesting assistance, it starts with the fact that the Shell Rock River and our lakes are designated as impaired. One of the largest reasons for this impairment is our phosphorus levels. And in order to treat these phosphorus levels from our wastewater treatment plant, it requires extensive engineering and addition to the process, which we believe adds $30 to $40 million to what should have been about a $40 million project originally. In doing so, we will only address 7 to 13% of the actual phosphorus contamination, while the largest contributor, which is farm field runoff, is not being regulated by the MPCA and instead is being worked on through local cooperation with our watershed. If not for this regulatory cost, we actually strongly believe that the sewer plant would have already been constructed and finished over 6 years ago with the fund reserves we did have, taking responsibility, planning ahead, and with the room within our rates to cover that cost without violating certain income limits in the Clean Water Act. But with the added requirements of making these, of accommodating for phosphorus removal, that was no longer a possibility. In our community, we are largely a agricultural and food processing community. 8 of our 10 largest users are in the agricultural-based industries. Of these 10 largest sewer users, they directly employ 1,600 people in a community of over 18,000. Our sewer plant also takes in the sewer from the city of Manchester, the community that they just said that they pipe their wastewater to. That is also processed at the city of Albert Lea. A high percentage of these jobs, though, these 1,600 jobs and these large users, they come with benefits. Entry level starts at living wages, at least within our community. But our community is about two-thirds the state median income. Without support, we will see our sewer bills alone increase by 200%, which will go from an average sewer bill of $40 a month to $120 a month. Now, when I say $40 a month to $120 a month, that excludes water, that excludes any stormwater fees or any garbage collection fees that are often associated with those monthly bills that a lot of communities see. Like many rural communities, our geography both supports the agricultural industry, which is vital to the state of Minnesota, but also it creates a concentrated overhead cost due to low population base. As I stated, with the increase of 200% to the sewer bills, our sewer bills will far exceed the 1.4% median income limitations in the Clean Water Act. We are asking for $37 million to complete all three remaining phases of this project. However, as it would be cheaper in the long run, however, if that is not a possibility, we have been able to break the project up into three more phases, which the second phase would be $12.5 million. As a result of this investment, the community will provide a plant that will operate at a lower carbon foot imprint. We will have cleaner water to protect the environment, a more equitable utility rate. We will protect our plant against flooding, create better worker wellness, have preservation of jobs in the agricultural industry, and will create a resilient plant that will not only accommodate for the phosphorus removal, but it will also be designed to address future concerns such as PFAS and nitrates in the system. I thank you for your time and consideration, and if I would be more than happy to answer any questions.
All right, thank you. Members, any questions before we move on? Representative Sexton, one question, then we're done.
Point of clarification, you mentioned $12.5 million for phase two, and your handout says $25
million. Mr. Rigg?
The cost of phase two is $25 million. We're asking for 50%, so $12.5 million would be the request in the bond.
All right, thank you. Any other further member questions? No? All right, seeing none, thank you, Representative Bennett. And thank you to those. Oh, you've got one more. Thank you for testifying today, Mr. Rigg. House File 965, Representative Bennett. And then on deck, we will have Representative Frederick. All right, and then Representative Frederick, if you want to go behind and with your testifiers and get ready, then on deck after that, we will have Representative Kozalski, who is going to join us through Zoom today. Representative Bennett, please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. Representative Peggy Bennett, House District 23A, and thank you for hearing this bill. I have with me Mayor Steve and the Mayor Bruce, I'm sorry, I'm getting mixed up because I have all these mayors with me and city managers. So Mayor Bruce, as well as the man of many hats, Mark, who is also Public Works for Clark's Grove. So I'm going to hand this off to Mayor Bruce.
Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Bruce Hansen. Thank you, Peggy, for sponsoring us. And thanks for everybody here to listen to me, I guess.
We're excited you're here. We're listening.
I'm nervous, but
you're going to be just fine.
The population of Clark's Grove is 694, and we're asking for funds to help fix the aging sewer system and the water treatment plant because of high levels of copper, and the city of Clark's Grove has, according to the Mayo Clinic, has a high population of people with thyroid disease, and they think the common denominator is the water system, So that's why we're trying to improve the drinking water in town. We've spent a lot of money the last 5 years because of a tornado that hit our town. It cost us approximately $800,000 for that new fire building and other infrastructure in town that got ruined from the tornado. And also the last 2 years, we have spent, close to $600,000 on two road projects and replacing the infrastructure underneath, because when you do the tar on top, that's the time to do the infrastructure. So it's spent down our funds considerably, just like all little towns. We've got about our county taxes we take in is about $162,000 a year, and we have a pretty good population of seniors, some living only on Social Security, and we have a pretty large population of caring people that have moved into town, which it lowers the average income of the people in town because of the money they're making. We're hoping to, our sewer lift stations are, they're just plain shot. They're just like every other little town in Minnesota that put them new in 1967, 68, 69, 70, when the federal government was funding a large share of the money to put them systems in. And of course, we've tried to keep it up over the years and do the best we can with the money we have, but it's just got to the point where there's no repairs left. They got to be replaced. So I'm hoping that we can get some of the funding from the state or from you guys. So that's what I'm here asking for. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Raunhorst, did you have anything to add to that?
I'm Mark Raunhorst. I just wanted to add that the lift stations are in very dire need, and the one lift station is actually on railroad property, and we'd kind of like to get that moved out of there because it's so close to the railroad tracks. If a train ever derailed, it could be disaster. We'd have nowhere to go with the sewage from the whole town. And the other lift station we'd like to redo also, we'd actually like to move that a little bit too, so we could have some expansion for more lots.
Representative Carroll.
Mayor, I just want to say your testimony was impactful and very significant, and I appreciate you coming, and you did an outstanding job. So take a deep breath.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Hansen. Members, any other questions? Representative Allen.
Just a question for you, Mr. Mayor. How many households and how big of a population are you guys servicing currently?
694 is the population.
The households in town is?
It's like 210.
210, and then the trailer park is how many?
Then there's another 80 in the trailer park.
So it'll be like 290 households. There's a trailer park that is part of Clark's Grove where there's roughly 80 trailers in there. And that's where the last few years we had a lot of Karen and Hmong people move into the community, and it's worked out well. They fit right in, and we're just a small farming community down there. And but the incomes, they live different than we do in a little bit because of they have more people per household and trying to make money and make a living just like we do. And so we're trying not to raise the costs for them people along with our senior citizens either.
Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe not so much a question, just a point. each community has so many homes for people, but they also have businesses and other agency buildings. So it's if there's 691 people and there's 300 homes, you know, maybe there's 10% more businesses. So it's hard to judge exactly how many there are till the you see the bill from their city. So just a point.
All right, thank you. Thank you. All right, thank you. Representative Bennett, did you have a quick final closing statement before you're done?
I will just finally say thank you, and also note that, you know, the federal government, as they mentioned, did put in a significant amount of money a good 50 years ago. Good news, but the bad news is all these projects are coming due at the same time, and we have communities that can't afford them. So thank you very much.
You're correct about that, Representative Bennett. Bad news for all the state of Minnesota.
Yes.
Thank you for coming before the committee today, Representative Bennett, and advocating for your communities. We appreciate that, and thank you for testifying to those from your communities that came down today. And Mayor Hansen, you did just fine. Next up, we are going to have Representative Fredericks. Representative Fredericks, you have House File 1045 for Eagle Lake. Make your way to the testifying table, state your name for the record, and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. House File 1045 is a bonding bill for the city of Eagle Lake. There was a drafting issue in the bill. I think there's an amendment floating somewhere. So the total project cost is the $14 million that you see in the bill, but the ask is only for half of that. So I just want to put that out there right from the get-go. It is the same project that we came before this committee last year as well. So we are just hoping that this year we can get it across the finish line. So with me, I have Mayor Whittington to give the presentation.
Good morning. My name is John Whittington, and I'm the mayor of Eagle Lake, and with me today is Jennifer Broman, our city administrator. In February of 2022, we received a health risk advisory of high levels of manganese in our drinking water, and then we set about taking a look at our system and determined that we didn't have the capability to add any more filtering or things like that with a engineering firm that we engaged. Our plan is for improvement has been submitted to the Minnesota Department of Health, the DWRF, and the Minnesota Public Facilities Authority in June of 23. The project is currently on Part B1 and ranked 160th with 18 points. Our current project, like Representative Fredericks has talked about, is $14.1 million, and we're here to ask for the $7.1 million. We are seeking funds from others, and we're moving forward with that. Our project is shovel ready. We've made some investments in engineering, and we've worked through land acquisition or potential land acquisition. So we believe we're ready to go as soon as we receive some funding. So.
All right. Thank you, Mayor Whittington. Ms. Bromlin, did you have to add?
Sure. Madam Chair and Committee, thank you for your time this morning.
Please state your name for the record.
Oh, sorry. Jennifer Bromlin, City Administrator, Eagle Lake. I just wanted to share or emphasize that our water is not safe for infants to drink. We are a growing community with many young families. As city staff, I field frequent calls and emails from young parents who are concerned. And it's disheartening to hear comments such as, my children are terrified to bathe in this water or to drink it. I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bromlin. Members, do we have any questions? All right, Representative Frederick, did you have a closing statement?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just say that right now the city of Eagle Lake, what they do is they pump the water, they put it in the water tower, and it goes straight to the community. So this would be, as a growing community, when I grew up there, it was really just a bedroom community and not much else was for anything to do really in the town. That is not the case anymore. So as the city grows, we need to make these investments, and so we can treat the water to make a better water system for, you know, as the city grows. So I just appreciate the committee's time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for testifying today, and thank you for making your way down to the Capitol. Appreciate that. Next up, we have Representative Kozelski joining us over Zoom, and then we're going to have Representative Coulter, Representative Baker, Representative Bajay. So please make your way to behind the testifying table with your testifiers so that we can continue going in an orderly fashion. Is Representative Kozelski ready to testify?
Yeah, no,
all right. Representative Kozelski, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed, although I don't see him. Okay.
Thank you, Chair Franson. This is Representative Kozelski. Thank you, Chair and members, for the opportunity to present this bipartisan bill, HF 972, for the Lakewood Water Treatment Plant. And also a special thanks for allowing me to be remote today with a sick kiddo up in Greater Minnesota. The bill that we brought before the committee last biennium. It's our water plant for the city of Duluth. It's a top priority. It's located in Duluth, right in my district on the beautiful Lake Superior. But this regional plant serves more than just my district. It serves the cities of Rice Lake, Hermantown, and Proctor in Reps of Lesnikar's district. And so you'll notice you should have letters from our surrounding communities and support from the 103,000 residents and businesses that it collectively serves in our region. Just really quick top line, this pump house is over 100 years old and the structure and roof require significant repairs. The city of Duluth has been resourcefully stretching the original plant equipment well beyond its useful life since it's been in service since 1977. And this bill seeks $21.208 million, which represents 50% of the total cost. And I have a testifier on deck, I believe they're in person, Eric Simonson, and I'd like to turn it over to Eric to explain more.
Mr. Simonson, please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Eric Simonson. I'm a lobbyist for the city of Duluth, and I would like to thank Representative Kozlowski for their work on House File 972 and for Representatives Zalesnikar and Johnson for serving as co-authors. Apologize for the city staff that couldn't be here this morning. They called in sick this morning, so pinch hitting here at the last minute. The Lakewood Water Treatment Facility is truly a regional asset, providing clean, safe drinking water to the cities of Duluth, Hermantown, Proctor, and Rice Lake, and nearly two-thirds of the population of St. Louis County. Much of the water system is quite old. The historic pump house was constructed in 1898. The treatment building was built in 1977, and more than 50% of the water mains are over 90 years old. The water coming from Lake Superior is basically free, but the treatment, pumping, storing, and maintenance of the system is not. Duluth is well aware of its obligation to pay for needed improvements with its own money. The Duluth Public Utilities Commission has approved annual rate increases for the past 10 years and recently passed a resolution authorizing a rate increase of 9.25% annually for the next 5 years. Even with the new rate increase, we are still facing a shortfall in revenues to complete the improvements to the plant and distribution system. The federal EPA conducted an inspection of the plant in 2023 and found deficiencies that require corrective action. The outcome of their inspection resulted in an administrative order on consent to correct the deficiencies. Duluth was aware of the issues in the order, but the EPA's regulatory mandates have dramatically accelerated our timeline for corrective action. Specific projects associated with this bonding request are rehabilitations of filters 1 through 5 and the construction of a new filter, filter number 6, improvements to the water treatment process itself, and the final set of projects involve the repair, rehab, or complete replacement of numerous water tanks and reservoirs located throughout the city. The total construction and engineering projects cost for these projects is $42.4 million, which we are requesting 21.2 from bond proceeds for a PFA grant with 21.2 million provided by local match. I would like to thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of House File 972 and would answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Simonson. Members, do we have any questions? No. Representative Kozlowski, would you like to add final thoughts to your bill?
Sure. Thank you again, Chair and members. Again, this regional plant serves Duluth, Proctor, Hermantown, Rice Lake, and for some, it's our only source of water for residents and businesses. So really critical that we modernize this century-old pump house and make sure that we're also alleviating the costs on already cost-burdened residents and ensure award-winning drinking water for years to come. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Representative Kozlowski. And we and the committee members hope your child has a speedy recovery. Next up, we have Representative Coulter. Please make your way to the testifying table with your testifiers. State your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. For the record, I'm Representative Nathan Coulter. I serve District 51B, which is basically the eastern half of the city of Bloomington. We are here with House File 1280, North Sanitary Sewer Bonding. City of Bloomington is seeking $13 million to fund a $26 million project. If you look at your handouts, you'll see a map that the North Sanitary Sewer runs just south of 494, where in particular the Penn American District has seen significant housing growth, follows 35W South for about 11 blocks, before continuing east again into one of Bloomington's busier commercial corridors. The project involves nearly 3 linear miles of 18 and 24-inch sewer pipe, with design scheduled for this year and construction in 26 and 27. I will at this point turn things over to our mayor, Tim Bussey, and our utility superintendent, Scott Anderson.
All right. Mayor Bussey, if you'd like to state your name for the record and proceed.
Madam Chair, members, thank you so much. My name is Tim Bussey. I have the honor and the pleasure of serving as the mayor of the city of Bloomington. And as Representative Coulter said, we are here to speak on behalf of House File 1280 and our request for state funding for in support of the North Central Sanitary Sewer Project. As I'm sure you all know, with 91,000 residents, Bloomington is the fourth largest city in the state of Minnesota. What you might not know is that with 87,000 workers in the city each day, Bloomington has 2 jobs for every resident of working age. In recent years, we've seen major commercial expansions and redevelopment projects from companies like Polar Semiconductor, Six Technology, and Seagate. They brought new employment opportunities with a good living wage to jobs in our area. The North Central Sanitary Sewer Project is an important piece of continuing this momentum. The project includes upsizing sanitary sewer capacity to accommodate new land use densification in what we refer to as the Penn American District. The area is more commonly known, I think, as the Southtown District, Penn Avenue and 494. Raise your hand if you saw Star Wars or Raiders of the Lost Ark at the Southtown Movie Theater. The majority of the city's sewer infrastructure, especially in the Southtown area, was constructed at least 50 to 70 years ago. It was designed to accommodate retail and single-family residential. The redevelopment plans envision affordable housing, mixed-use development, and office space, which consequently requires greater sewer capacity. The redevelopment plans are consistent with the city's comprehensive plan and Met Council's development goals. In particular, the proximity of this district to the Orange Line Bus Rapid Transit and 35W and 494 make it a prime development site for workforce and affordable housing. I might add, I am very proud that a community-wide commitment to housing in Bloomington that people can afford, it's ingrained in the work that we do in the city of Bloomington. In the last 4 years, we've seen 2,300 new housing units built, which is notable given that Bloomington is a fully developed community. 27% of those new housing units are affordable units. That's housing available to people in our hospitality industry, folks who work the lines in our fabs, our teachers, our firefighters, our police officers. It is a point of pride for Bloomington that we have already exceeded our 2030 Met Council affordable housing goals. We want to continue to support these types of development that we've been seeing, but sewer capacity is a limiting factor. If we don't add sewer capacity, including the major line we are here talking about today, development will be put on pause in some of our key districts, including the Penn American District. As Representative Coulter said, total project cost is estimated at $26 million. We respectfully request state support of $13 million. These infrastructure resources from the state, combined with matching funds from the city, will allow us to complete the North Central Sanitary Sewer Line project and help Bloomington continue our work of creating places that people want to be. Thanks once again for the opportunity to be here today.
Thank you, Mr. Bussey. Mr. Anderson, did you have anything to add?
Yes, Scott Anderson, Utility Superintendent, City of Bloomington. Thank you, Chair Franson, Committee. Representative Coulter and Mayor Bussey covered just about anything, but I would just add that once complete, this infrastructure will be operated and maintained by city forces and incorporated into the city's long-range asset renewal program. If there are any other questions specific to the project, happy to answer those.
Members, any questions on House File 1280? All right, seeing none, Representative Coulter, to the testifiers, thank you for making your way down here, and thanks for testifying today.
Thank you.
All right, next up we have Representative Baker. Representative Baker, followed by Representative Abaje, and then we will have Representative Jacobs, and then we will have the Swede Show. So if you want to make your way to the back of the testifying table so you can just get on up when it's your turn, speeds things along. Thank you. Representative Baker, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Dave Baker from beautiful Candiota County area, here today representing the city of Raymond with a very important need with the water infrastructure. We have a very old water tower and a water system. I'm honored to turn over to my testifier, also my friend, and you guys have heard a lot about my very special son, Dan Baker. Adam Hess is one of his best friends, and I'm just honored to have him here today. So I just want to turn it over to Adam for the presentation today, Madam Chair.
All right. Mr. Hess, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Yeah, I'm Adam Hess. Thank you, Chair Franson, members of the committee. Thank you,
Representative Baker. I'll try not to embarrass you.
We would like it if you did, though.
Yeah.
Kevin, up
with that. Yeah. I serve as the Secretary of the Fire Department for the City of Raymond. I'm also pleased to have with me today Laura Osley, representing the city's engineering firm. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today regarding our community's urgent need for infrastructure improvements and our request for $4 million in bonding funding. Raymond is facing a critical challenge with its aging water infrastructure. Our water treatment plant is nearly 60 years old. It's undersized and at the end of its service life. A 2020 sanitary survey from the Minnesota Department of Health confirmed that many components need replacement or reconditioning. Additionally, one of our wells has arsenic levels that exceed primary drinking water standards, posing a significant public health risk. Our water tower, which has stood for 113 years, is undersized at just 33,000 gallons. This is well below state guidelines for daily water storage capacity. Given its age, there is also a high probability of lead contamination in the existing coatings. The city's water distribution system is equally concerning. Much of it consists of cast iron pipes with lead joints, inoperable gate valves, and curb stops. We've had 11 water main failures as of recent, and portions of the system lack sufficient looping, which is not compliant with 10 state standards. These issues not only impact the reliability of our water system, but also present serious safety concerns for our residents. In March of 2023, you may recall that the city of Raymond experienced a massive derailment, an event that highlighted the need for strong, resilient infrastructure in our community. Emergency response efforts rely heavily on a functioning water system, and the weaknesses in our infrastructure put public safety at risk. We're at a tipping point. Without significant investment, these problems will only grow worse or more costly. The City of Raymond is committed to addressing these challenges, but we cannot do it alone. We respectfully request $4 million in bonding funds to help modernize our water infrastructure, ensuring safe, clean, and reliable water for our residents, businesses, and emergency services. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you for that, Mr. Hess. Representative Baker, did you?
No, I think that if there's any questions, we just have our engineer for any technical questions, Madam Chair. Otherwise, we just appreciate having a piece of your time today. I know you've got a lot of important work for us, but we appreciate Raymond being considered for future consideration.
Members, is there any questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you for making your way down here today. Appreciate your time, and you did not embarrass Representative Baker, so I'm sure he appreciates that, but we're disappointed. Let's see. We have Representative Abadji. Thank you. And then we have Representative Jacobs. Representative Abadji, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Sure. Thank you so much, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Representative Esther Agbaje. I'm bringing forward today House File 1050. This bill is meant to repair water infrastructure that failed in the city of Minneapolis in December 2022. The bill would rehabilitate a 2.6-mile stretch of 36 inches diameter water main, which is crucial for safe drinking water in the city of Minneapolis. So when the pipe broke a couple years ago, it did lead to low water pressure, a need to boil water, and flooding in a section of the city that already sees difficulty in updating its infrastructure in general. The city is asking for, I believe, a $12.36 million appropriation to complete the rehabilitation in phases over years. And so with these funds, the city of Minneapolis will be able to update the line with less disruption to water customers and road users. And so with that, I'll pass it to my testifier, Anika Bankston, from the Public Works Department in the city of Minneapolis to discuss more technical aspects of the bill.
Please state your name for the record. We don't have this on our sheet, so.
My name is Annika Bankston, and I'm the Director of Water Treatment and Distribution Services for the City of Minneapolis. Chair Franson and distinguished members of the Capital Investment Committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify on behalf of House File 1050. The Minneapolis Division of Water Treatment and Distribution Services treats and distributes over 57 million gallons of world-class drinking water to businesses and residents in the city of Minneapolis and beyond, including seven suburban customers. I'm here getting to talk today about the critical need to address a piece of our aging infrastructure. It's a 2.6-mile length of water transmission pipeline. This pipeline was installed in the early 1880s. It was a 3-foot diameter pipeline and one of the first of the transmission pipelines that served the city of Minneapolis. Despite its sturdy cast iron construction, a water main break in December 2022 revealed the vulnerability. The water main break caused localized flooding and did drop system pressure across the city. And this did result in a localized precautionary boil water advisory, the first in my 20 years history with the utility. This particular stretch of the pipeline is a crucial cog in the city's distribution system. It carries about 15% of the water we treat and distribute daily based on how the distribution system network is laid out. In the effort to prevent future catastrophic failures, the city intends to rehabilitate this segment of pipeline using a structural liner. Structural lining is a cost-effective and proven approach to reinforce existing pipes to basically restore reliable service for many decades to come. Lining is an alternative to basically digging up and replacing pipes. The cost of to replace the pipe and actually restore the full right-of-way along that 2.6-mile stretch is estimated to be 3 to 4 times the cost of the proposed structural lining. So this cost-effective improvement would prevent against future water main breaks and service disruptions, ensure ongoing distribution of drinking water to a large portion of Minneapolis, especially North Minneapolis and the downtown Central Business District. So we hope to receive your support for this important investment in our city. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Bankston. Members, do we have any questions? Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair. Very quickly. So I represent Plymouth, and Plymouth has been doing a lot of lining. Can you tell me what material is used and how much, if any, does it reduce capacity?
Ms. Bankston.
Thank you, Chair. My understanding is we use what's called typically epoxy lining materials, and it's almost like a fiberglass sock that gets inserted inside the pipe. So it actually is a very, very thin cross-section. It doesn't appreciably reduce the capacity of the pipeline.
All right. Members, any further questions? Representative Abadji for final statements.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Appreciate your time today and look forward to future support. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you for testifying today. Thanks for making your way down to the Capitol. Representative Jacobs, please come up with your House File 644 for Goodhue County. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Representative Steve Jacob, District 20B. So, first of all, thank you, Chair Hanson, Chair Franson, and members of the committee for hearing our North Sunboro Sanitary Sewer District bill today. This project, through an economy of scale, will save taxpayers nearly $40 million while also solving the problems of failing and substandard sewer systems in 4 different small towns across 4 different House of Representatives districts, including Representative Altendorf, Representative Hicks, Representative Allen, and my district, of course. Additionally, the project will also serve the Prairie Island Indian community developed near Rochester, Minnesota. I encourage you to look in your packets at a picture of a tank floating in floodwaters tethered by a connection line at the Wanamango facility during a recent flood, and imagine the environmental impact of such a substandard sewer treatment plant submerged underwater and what must happen to the contents of those substandard facilities during those types of events. Our project resolves those issues for all 4 towns. Our project further protects the environment with only 1 point of discharge instead of 5 points for 5 towns. In 2023, the legislature approved $10 million for this project for land acquisition and planning. The $110 million total overall cost of the project requires local governments to fund half of the project and the state of Minnesota to fund half. It's now time for this legislature to finish what it started in 2023 and create a model of efficiency that our state can showcase for other communities for decades to come. And I'll let you hear from my testifiers.
All right, thank you. Mr. Johnson, if you'd like to proceed, please state your name for the record.
Yeah, Hihani Washday, good morning, Madam Chair and members. My name is Blake Johnson, and I'm a tribal member and the government relations representative for the Prairie Island Indian community. Prairie Island is a federally recognized tribe, and our reservation sits about 45 minutes southeast of St. Paul, near Red Wing, Minnesota. Prairie Island supports the request of House File 644, and the members of the committee should have received a resolution passed by Tribal Council in support. Prairie Island supports House File 644 because its own, it owns what's commonly referred to as Elk Run property, which sits just north of Rochester, adjacent the city of Pine Island. Prairie Island made the hard decision to purchase land away from its current reservation because of the trifecta of threats the community faces. Prairie Island, first, the Army Corps of Engineers constructed Lock and Dam Number 3 in the 1930s downstream from Prairie Island, and it flooded a portion of the community's land. Additionally, spring flooding, which continues to threaten Prairie Island's infrastructures. Second, the Prairie Island nuclear plant was constructed in the 1970s, and spent nuclear waste currently sits approximately 700 yards away from our community. Third, the freight rail track bisects the one reliable road on and off the reservation. Freight rail carries hazardous materials, and if there were ever an accident that blocked the intersection, community members and guests could be trapped on our reservation. Lastly, our current land base doesn't support the need for housing for our community members. In order for our community to continue to grow and thrive, we are looking to the future development of the Elk Run property and up-to-date infrastructure, such as a modern wastewater treatment, which is crucial for both the surrounding communities and our future plans. For those reasons mentioned above, we would ask that you support the funding for the Zumbro Sanitary District in House File 644. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Franson and committee members. Michael Bolton, City Administrator, Wanamingo. Just wanted to mention that it's communities of Goodhue, Pine Island, Wanamingo, and Zumbrota, along with Prairie Island and any communities, so the five of us communities. That money that the legislature appropriated back in 2023, we have purchased land, and we're well along our way for pre-designed work to be shovel-ready in the very near future. Each of the communities have aging treatment plants, just as we've heard from other testimony, and have negative impacts on the environment. Pine Island and Wanamingo's plants were constructed within the floodplain and have had to bypass raw sewage in the North Zumbro River during the flood events. The four communities are all facing more restrictive MPCA permit discharge limits. The City of Goodhue's permit will not be renewed by the MPCA with their current facility. The cities of Goodhue and Pine Island lack the sewer treatment capacity to meet market growth. A new regional treatment facility would be a win for the environment. This would lead to one discharge point rather than four, be constructed out of the floodplain, able to meet MPCA discharge limits, and allow market housing growth for greater Rochester area. The multi-city collaboration is a model for how small outstate Minnesota communities should come together to pool resources and save taxpayer money. The regional project has initial taxpayer capital savings of $12 million compared to one community.
Mr. Bolton, we are out of time. Members, do we have any questions? Representative Scraba.
We toured this site when we were down there, and I've been lobbied last couple years about it, and it's your comments about bringing the small communities together to make one and having tribal folks come in also. It's a perfect setup for me. I'm supporting your project. I hope it goes through. Thank you.
That riveting comment, Representative Scraba. Representative Sexton.
Good morning, ma'am.
Thank you.
Question, can we phase this more, or is this, can you just explain how you're going to go through the construction process a little
sure,
bit?
Sure, we're looking, the problem with anything with phasing is that if the cities have to bring money in order to treat waste, you either have to build the collection systems first or the sewer plant first or second. So we're looking, if we have to phase, at building the treatment plant first and having it ready to go so that we can come back in the next phase and do piping. But yet our residents would then have to pay rates that aren't treating sewage in the short term. But it can be done.
All right. Thank you for that, Mr. Bolton. Funds are limited. The budget forecast came out. The bonding dollar capacity went down as well, which was very bad news. So we do have a lot of issues facing the state. Any other member comments or questions? Representative Jacobs, would you like a quick closing statement?
Sure. Thank you, Chair Franson, for just hearing our bill today. And this is a perfect opportunity to protect the environment and save the taxpayers millions of dollars. So thank you for hearing our request.
Thank you, Representative Jacobs, and thank you for making your way down to St. Paul today and testifying on behalf of your communities. We appreciate that. Next up, we have the Swede Show. Shockingly, it's not the Scraba Show that's coming, I'm sure. Representative Swedinski, if you will make your way to the testifying table, and all of your bills, if your testifiers will just sit back there so we can just boom, boom, boom.
Sounds good.
All right. First bill up you have, Representative Swedinski, is House File 612 for Russell.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Bonding Committee with the City of Russell. We've got a few bills here, so I'll kind of keep my statement as short as possible. Just appreciate your open ears and eyes on the projects as we lay them before you. I know some of you members have come to this particular project in the past, and look forward to the folks here to talk about it. So the House File 612.
Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
My name is Hillary Buchert. I am the mayor of Russell. I want to thank all of you for giving us this opportunity to speak with you today. We are a small community of 348 people in southwest Minnesota, located 12 miles south of Marshall along Highway 23. Thank you for the opportunity again to speak to you today in regard to the importance of our city's water and sewer project. I would like to draw your attention to our project packet, which is in the green colored spine, just in case you guys didn't see that. Russell is seeking $4 million in state assistance to address a funding gap in our final phase of $22.9 million two-phase project to overhaul our water and sewer system. This funding would be for the second and final phase of our project. Once state assistance of $4 million is secured, this final 13.1 phase would begin immediately. We have the available workforce in our area to start work now. I'm pleased to have with me today City Council Member Glenn Grant, and we also have our City Clerk Lori Milner and Laura Osley representing the city's engineering firm with Bolick Engineering. And now I will turn it over to Glenn Grant to address this project's specifics and affordability issues.
Mr. Grant, please state your name for the record, and you may continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. My name is Glenn Grant, and I'm a City Council Member for the City of Russell. I'm also a licensed water and wastewater operator in the state of Minnesota, currently employed at Lincoln Pipestone Water and the former public works director of the city of Russell. In 2024, Russell completed phase one for $9.8 million. This included new water tower lift stations, water main, sewer main, and storm sewer work. For phase two and the final phase of this project, we are requesting $4 million in assistance from the state to fill a funding gap for this $13.1 million project. The second phase of this project will eliminate the remaining asbestos pipes in the city of Russell, end sewer backups, and stop overflowing discharges of wastewater into the Redwood River. It will also put an end to the constant cycle of emergency water leaks popping up throughout town. We are seeking state assistance for this final phase due to affordability issues. Russell is property tax poor. We rank at the bottom 14th percentile of city and township tax jurisdictions based on adjusted net tax capacity. Therefore, our ability to raise property tax dollars is very limited. Prior to phase one, the average water and sewer bill in the city of Russell was $55 per month per household. That number currently stands at $100 per month on average per household at the conclusion of phase one. Without state assistance, the second and final stage would push the average water and sewer bill in the city of Russell to $204 a month just to pay for their water and sewer. Russell has two new housing developments that are permitted and platted to be built, but for construction to begin, they require reliable and affordable water and sewer infrastructure. We will have a difficult time meeting the housing needs in southwest Minnesota with utility bills that exceed $200 a month. Russell has had multiple failures on the water and sewer distribution lines on a regular basis due to the current inadequate looping of our system. Many residents are forced to run water on the ground simply to keep the water fresh that's supplied to their home, as well as help with keeping the city mains from freezing up in the winter months. In conclusion, we would like to ask this committee for a $4 million state investment to allow the final phase of this $13.1 million project to move forward. The City of Russell would like to thank you for your consideration and we are available to answer any questions now or after the committee hearing. Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
No, thank you very much for listening today. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Chair, and just City of Tracy. If you guys want to introduce yourselves, and we'll just get right after it, so you guys talk more. So.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and committee members. My name is Pamela Corman, and I am the City of Tracy's mayor. Our community is located in the southwest corner of Minnesota, right on Highway 14. We are about 30 miles south of Marshall, southeast of Marshall, and 90 miles west of Mankato. I am pleased to say that I have with me today George Landite, City Council member, Shane Daniels, Public Work Director, Tam Schoens, Department Head, Tom Dobson, EDA Director, Laura Usley, representing the City of Tracy's engineering firm, which is Bollig Engineering, and our City Administrator, Jeff Carpenter. I'd like to draw attention to the red packet that you have with our project and ask Jeff Carpenter, our City Administrator, to address the specifics of the project.
Mr. Carpenter, please state your name for the record. You may
My name is Jeff Carpenter, City Administrator of City of Tracy. Thank you, Chair and members of the committee, for allowing us to speak in front of you today. Initially, we, the City of Tracy, are seeking $12 million in assistance from the state to fill a funding gap in a $70 million project to replace 100-year-old water supply pipes, clay tile sewer pipes, and a failing stormwater distribution system. Tracy is seeking state assistance due to affordability issues like a lot of cities are. Tracy is a city of 2,100 people where 53% of the households are low to moderate income and 12.5% fall below the poverty line. Our largest commercial and industrial properties are tax exempt, which creates an issue. This includes an entire K-12 school district, a hospital, and a parochial school, all which serve multiple communities around the area. Over the past 11 years, the city has made significant investments of our own in our public utilities. The city has purchased land and built two new treatment ponds. We have updated a third of our current water, sewer, and stormwater infrastructure in conjunction with new street projects. A large share of these infrastructure improvements were done by leveraging grant funding and long-term debt. Currently, our monthly average water and sewer bill for the residents in Tracy would be $132 a month, and without assistance from the state, we're projected to exceed $180 per month. Additional utility work is needed citywide due to excessive manganese in the system and INI impacting our new sewage treatment system that we just put in a few years ago. With state assistance and working with our engineering firm, we can develop an innovative and multi-year phased plan to update our water, sewer, and stormwater infrastructure while continuing to seek other state and federal agency funding options for future phases down the road. The project is supported as a community effort. We have included letters in your packet of support from the county, the school district, the hospital, the nursing home, all whom are eager, along with the citizens of Tracy, to see these projects completed in a timely and fashionable manner. State assistance of $12 million would allow this $70 million project to be completed in its entirety, and would allow the project to move forward in a multi-phased effort that would be environmentally and financially sound for the City of Tracy. The work will benefit the citizens of Tracy and also the state of Minnesota for the next 40 years and beyond. So thank you again, Chair and members, for allowing the City of Tracy's voice to be heard. And if there's any other questions for me, I can see if I can answer those, or if I can have one of our that came along with us from the City of Tracy answer those.
Thank you, Mr. Carpenter. Oops. One day I'm going to get this right. Mr. Carpenter, thank you for testifying. Members, do we have any questions? Representative Jean.
Very nice.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Mayor, I just wanted to say that a couple years ago, Chair Lee and I had a chance to tour the City of Tracy with your council member, Tao. It's a lovely and great city, so thank you very much for being here and the work that you are doing.
I just want to say that looking forward to working with the bill author to get this passed for you all.
Thank you. I love that bipartisanship right there. That is key to this committee of getting a good bonding bill done. Thank you, Representative Zhang. Representative Swedinski, final comments.
Thank you again for hearing the bill, and all these water projects are very important.
So yes, they are. Thank you for making your way down to the Capitol today, and we appreciate you advocating for the city of Tracy. Representative Swedinski, you are still up with House File 616, City of Ghent.
Yes, thank you. House File 616, I don't believe we have anyone, but I believe there might be some paperwork in your packet from the city of Ghent. House File 616 is, there we go. All right.
Right. Surprises galore in here. Please state your name for the record and proceed when it's time to do so. Representative
Swedinski. Yourself, gentlemen. Yeah. I'll start off. My name is Jordan Albrecht. I'm a city engineer for Bolton & Mink. And just like to thank everyone today for gathering here. As a city engineer, it's my honor to introduce someone who's been a driving force behind the continued growth and improvement of the city of Ghent. Under his leadership, the city has pursued numerous initiatives to enhance the lives of the city residents. Today, we seek direct appropriation funding for two crucial projects: the improvement of the city's sanitary ponds and the construction of the city water tower. These projects are vital for ensuring the sustainability and reliability for the city of Ghent's infrastructure. Please welcome the city of Ghent's mayor and advocate, Doug Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Please state your name for the record and you may proceed.
My name is Doug Anderson, the mayor of the city of Ghent, Minnesota. Thanks. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for inviting us to speak today. I would like to briefly introduce you to the two projects we are advocating for, and I will begin with the sanitary pond improvement project. The city has applied for the Public Facility Authority, PPL, and the IUP. For this project, we have ranked in the unfundable range at 57.2 on the IUP and 57 on the PPL. The facility plan has been submitted and approved by the MPCA. The current state of our sanitary ponds have been analyzed and are known to be leaking, causing potential contamination, pollution to the adjacent Bluebird Creek. The existing sanitary system is designed to treat 37,000 gallons per day. And the four-year average has sustained 41,000 gallons per day, and on the wet season peaks, over double that at 78,000 gallons per day. The second project we applied for in this bill involves the construction of the city water tower. The city has also applied for Public Facility Authority and is ranked in the unfundable range of 323 on the PPL. The city receives water from Lincoln Pipestone Rural Water and it currently has no water tower to maintain consistent pressure and provide water protection services. The city's water provider is requiring the city to have a storage tower to maintain consistent pressure and provide water suppression system. The city has been proactive in construction new water main in the site in the 2017 to anticipate anticipation of the new water tower. Lately, I would like to discuss the city's funding. The city is currently in the process of finalizing funding for the citywide infrastructure improvement project that involves replacing city water main sanitary sewer pipes throughout the town. These projects are not included in our appropriations request today. The water distribution system project is ranked as a fundable project that was a carryover on the PPL and rated at 643. The sanitary collection project is ranked as unfundable on the PPL at 57.1. The city plans to reapply in the next cycle to complete both projects concurrently. After completing these projects, the city's base utility fees will be a combined $162 per month per connection on a 30-year loan. It will max out the city's affordability based on the state guidance of 2.6%. The state's guidelines have set an affordability of 1.2% of the medium household income for drinking water and 1.4% medium household income for wastewater for the combined of 2.6. At $69,000, the city's medium household income is too high to be eligible for rural development funding. I appreciate everybody's time here with us today, and I'd like to invite you to visit our community in the upcoming weeks for a tour of the city and propose facilities to look at and improve. Thank you.
Dudley.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and maybe to the mayor or to the city engineer. So in the language, and then I think in the mayor, your remarks, you talked about the requirements from the Lincoln Pipestone Rural Water. So can you tell us what happens? You know, was this requirement there before, or why is this requirement here now? And then what will happen if you don't meet these requirements?
Who would like to take that? Mr. Anderson?
Yes, I can take it. When we have a fire in town and we have to open up the fire hydrants, we cannot open them up over a, it has to be opened up over a period of 3 minutes. Otherwise, we shock the system because we have no water storage. And closing is the same way. We will actually shock the system with high pressure. And when the pumps from Lincoln County kick in, 3 minute period, we've got our water, and then shut down after a 3 minute period for the pumps will realize that and shut down and not overpressure the whole city.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Lidley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just quick follow-up then. What will happen if you don't make these changes? Will they take you off the water system, or what will happen?
No, they won't take us off the water system. We will just have to deal with the way that we handle our fire and our water supply.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Any further member questions? Okay, seeing none, Representative Sudinski.
Thanks again. And just from a welcoming standpoint, Ghent, Minnesota is the roly-boly capital of the world. So if you want to learn a new sport that's old to us, we'd be happy to teach you anytime. So thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you for coming to the Capitol and presenting today. We appreciate that. All right, next up, Representative Swedinski, you have the city of Hanley Falls with House File 622.
Thank you.
Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you. Sounds good. House File 622, and I believe we've got a couple of folks.
Just one today.
Just one. All right. If you want to introduce yourself.
Please state your name for the record.
Yeah, Richard Hagan. Chair Franz and members of the committee, my name is Rich Hagan, and I'm the mayor of Hanley Falls, a population of 243 people. We are a multicultural community and are home to Minnesota's only agricultural museum and the first railroad wire in the United States. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today about the urgent infrastructure challenges facing our community and our request for bonding support. Hanley Falls is dealing with a critical wastewater crisis due to an aging and failing sanitary sewer system. Much of our infrastructure consists of cracked clay pipes, which leak at joints every 4 to 6 feet, and deteriorating Orangeburg pipes. Orangeburg is an outdated material made from tar-soaked cardboard. These pipes were a low-cost solution after World War II, but today they are beyond repair and a major liability to our community. The consequences of this failing system are severe. Excessive filth infiltration and inflow overwhelm our wastewater treatment facility, leading to untreated wastewater being discharged into the Yellow Medicine River multiple times each year. This is not just an environmental concern, it's a public health risk and a regulatory issue that must be addressed. We've also had issues with water going into people's basements over the years, and that's where phase one has helped with that, but we'd like to keep going. In addition to our sewer system, the city's water infrastructure is equally outdated. Some of our water mains date back to the 1890s, well over a century old. These aging pipes are unreliable, prone to breaks, and insufficient to meet the needs of our residents and businesses. Our proposed project will replace the remaining portions of our failing sanitary sewer system and upgrade the water main infrastructure to ensure a safe and sustainable future for Hanley Falls. But we cannot do this alone. We are asking for bonding support of $604 million to help us make these essential upgrades before the situation worsens. Investing in this project means protecting our environment, safeguarding public health, and ensuring that Hanley Falls can continue to provide reliable wastewater and drinking water services to our residents. A few facts for us is our average water bill right now with 4,400 gallons of usage for a family of four is $167 a month. There are larger families who commonly pay between $250 and $300 a month for water and sanitary sewer. As of June of 2024, the median tax rate for Hanley was 1.44%, considerably higher than both the national median of 0.99 and the Minnesota median of 1.11. And that was before we are raising our property tax of almost 30% this year. 23% of our tax levy to be collected in 2025 is for debt service. We acquired from the last storm sewer infrastructure street project, phase one, resulting in budget cuts to items such as public safety. Utility fund debt per year, $86,075 pays for water, wastewater portions of phase one of the infrastructure projects, replacement of the forest main, and repainting of the water tower. Over the past 26 years, the city has replaced all infrastructure on the west side of the railroad tracks, constructed a water treatment plant, a new water tower, replaced the sanitary sewer force main out to our sanitary sewer ponds. That's where we're also concerned about a potential disaster that can happen. We've got our sewer pipe that goes underneath the Burlington Northern Railroad track in Hanley has been replaced on both sides of the railroad track, but has not been replaced underneath the track yet. This year should eventually be replaced and put into a system where you would run the pipe through a larger pipe and stuff, so you could do this. That's where, when it was installed, we've had all the trains in Hanley, but when it was installed, that's where the trains came much lower through Hanley Falls. Now they come through at between 50 and 55 miles an hour, and they're asking to come through faster. We get 4 to 5 trains a day. If you have any other questions, feel free to answer.
Members, do we have any questions? All right, seeing none, Representative Swedinski.
Thanks again. This again is a great project, and I would recommend visiting the Ag Museum, and they have a thrashing show, I think, in August.
It's first weekend in August. Yeah. We have a smelt fry every weekend, the first weekend in May. Ooh. We serve between 700 and 1,000 people smelt every year.
Yum.
Yeah. We'd welcome anyone to come. If you haven't tried it, you won't. You won't forget it.
All right. Thank you for coming down to the Capitol today. We appreciate you advocating
for
this.
Thank you for your
time. Representative Swedinski, House File 650 for Wood Lake. Please make your way to
good
the
mayor from Wood Lake here to talk about their project.
Representative Swedinski, could you just calm down a little bit and let me finish? Thank you.
Oh, sorry. I'm all right.
Excited. All right. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning, committee. My name is David J. Stelter. I am a dairy and beef farmer that happens to live in the city of Wood Lake. I have been a resident of Wood Lake since the early 1990s. I'm a fifth generational farmer. I felt that I didn't have quite enough to do, so I thought maybe I would join the city council and help keep Wood Lake vibrant and as a thriving community. And that is somewhat tongue-in-cheek. I've been on the council since 92. I have seen the degradation of our system over the course of the last 30 years and was aware of that. I believe earlier in the day somebody mentioned the early 70s funding from the federal government, which was the last time anything had been done to our sewer system. So we needed to get on that. Since 2014, when the city began the process of rebuilding its antiquated sewer and water infrastructure, I have been actively involved in this process. This includes all areas of design, funding sources, bidding, and active participation in the construction of both phase one and phase two, and the planning to this point of phase three. As you may have figured that out, through what I've just said, we did break it down in phases, and there were so many needs that there were ways that we could go about funding these phases as we went along. But when we got to phase three here, we've run into the same problem the rest of southwestern Minnesota has stated today, is that we're out of ability to raise any more money locally. Wood Lake is a small farming community of just under 400 people in southwestern Minnesota. Ironically enough, just up the rail about 4 miles from Mr. Hagen's town of Hanley Falls. We are about 20 miles from Marshall, Minnesota. I would like to draw your attention to the blue folder that you have in front of you. This is a very succinct summation of what we have done and what we are planning to do with the bonding funding. Woodlake is seeking a financial assistance from the state of Minnesota for $4.525 million to address a funding gap in our $6.2 million project for the final phase of a three-phase $15.7 million project. Phases one and two are fully funded, are in progress, or close to completion. As the gentleman from Russell said earlier, Woodlake is in the same conditions. We are a property tax poor community. We rank in the bottom 14th percentile of adjusted net tax capacity. Our ability to raise property tax dollars is also extremely limited. Woodlake's ability to attract commercial development is limited. While the city is located on the Minnesota Valley Regional Railway, we are miles away from the Highway 23 corridor between Marshall and Wilmer. And as far as the railroad goes, it is imperative that we get these projects finished because most of the stuff that we need to do is in, a lot of it is in the railroad right away. Our average costs at this point are $135 a month per household and will exceed $250 a month without any state assistance. This is a community where 55% of our residents have low to moderate income. Therefore, I, David Stelter, as the representative of the city of Woodlake and its spokesman for its residents, I humbly ask the bonding committee in the state of Minnesota to lend financial assistance to help us complete our infrastructure project, a project with only one goal, to provide clean water, storm and sanitary services, sewer services to our residents, a fundamental purpose of government. No more and no less. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Do we have anything else to add to that? Members, do we have any questions? Did you want to have something to say? Yeah, okay, then your name, if you want to state your name for the record.
Alan Crispin, Public Works. This work is critical to Woodlake because we've already had two boil water orders from the Department of Health in 2019 and 21 due to frequent system failures. In this project area, we cannot hook fire trucks to hydrants to be used for fire suppression because it collapses water mains.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Members? All right, seeing no questions, Representative Swedinski.
Thanks again for hearing the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you for testifying. Thank you for making your way down to the Capitol. We appreciate it.
Thank you, committee. Thank you, Chairman Franzen, for hearing our request.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you. Representative Swedinski, final bill, House File 651 for Cottonwood. Your testifiers will make their way. Oh, they're online. That's right. They're joining us via Zoom. So if you want to continue on.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 651. Is along the same lines of these other bills that we've heard this morning, and I would continue, and I just reach out to the folks from City Hall if you'd like to introduce yourself for the record.
Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. Can you hear me good?
Yes.
My name is Heather Bliss, and I am the city administrator for the city of Cottonwood. I apologize for all the late information, and I just want to give a shout-out to Representative Swedinski's aide, Sharon. She did a great job at getting me the information and getting that information into your hands before this meeting. So what I want to just inform you of today is the needs of the city of Cottonwood. I have a quick minimal handout for you plus a letter to go over what we have here in Cottonwood as challenges. Right now we're looking at a phase one project that we have kind of stretched out over a five-year phase for the entire community. That would include, in total, we need about 20,500 linear feet of sewer and 5,600 linear feet of force main out to our ponds, 7,600 linear feet of water line, and 500 linear feet of looping in our community. So what this project phase would do is seek $8 million from the bonding bill. We have factored out a couple different things where we could undertake a $5.5 million bond and or public finance loan, coupled with the $8 million and then the emerging contaminants grant that would help us really, really tackle this phase one and move into a phase two. In 2019, we were issued a notice from MPCA for new water quality-based effluent limits on phosphorus. And in 2024, we were issued a notice of violation for high limit discharging of our total suspended solids. We have a INI problem in Cottonwood that is pretty severe. We have replaced our, since I started in 2019 as the city administrator, we have replaced and put in a brand new main lift station. We have hired a brand new engineering firm, Bolton & Bink. We have started our smoke testing of our sanitary sewer lines. We have implemented an inflow and infiltration ordinance for point of sales. And I have performed a utility rate for tiered increases for project planning, as well as we continue to work with Bolton & Mink on fine-tuning our infrastructure plans. Also in 2023, our city engineering firm discovered and confirmed that Cottonwood's drinking water contained abnormally high levels of manganese. It'd be 1,600 parts per billion. After working with Minnesota Department of Health, we issued a health risk advisory in early 2024, and that has led to the City of Cottonwood committing to a $3.88 million water agreement with Lincoln Pipestone Rural Water for them to become our new water supplier in Cottonwood. So once again, this request is to help us with funding about 2,000 feet of vital water main that is on our main street, runs underneath BNSF. So obviously a punchline underneath BNSF is very expensive. It would also take care of 2,400 square feet of AC and cast iron line that runs along another 5,000 feet in conjunction of VCP sanitary sewer line. Because as we all know, when you touch one line, you try to touch two, you try to touch three, so that you're not digging the road up twice. And unfortunately in Cottonwood, I have found that that has happened before, and I'm here to correct it and set it straight for the rest of Cottonwood. So thank you very much for your time, and I truly hope that you can support this bill, and I hope that you can visit Cottonwood on your tour.
Thank you, Ms. Bliss. Members, any questions? Representative Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I wanted to compliment Ms. Bliss for the sheet that she got us. I mean, this really gets the information to us as far as what rural communities or outstate communities are currently dealing with wastewater treatment plants and water plants that are failing, and it really kind of tells the whole entire story, so especially given with the budget forecast we're potentially dealing with. So thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Representative Allen. All right, Representative Swedinski, final comments on your final bill.
Thank you, Chair Franz, and thank you, members. I appreciate your time and attention on a myriad of these bills. As you can maybe tell, that from a theme that water is a big issue when it comes to dealing with sanitary and sewer waters out in southwest Minnesota, as in all parts of our state. So we appreciate making room in a bill that may be coming before us at some point for any of these projects or these projects as a whole. So thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you, Ms. Bliss, for joining us today over Zoom. All right, members, that concludes today's committee hearing, unless you have any further comments you would like to make. No? All right, then. Well, I appreciate everybody paying attention to the time and sticking on schedule. With that, our next committee hearing will be Tuesday, March 11th. So we will adjourn the meeting.